Welcome to the program today. My name's Keith Smith, and I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, La Mirada. And this week, Pastor Brian will be taking us through a study on the gift of prophecy. And he'll be starting in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. So grab your Bible and join us as we go to the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada, and Pastor Brian Parrish as he starts our study on the gift of prophecy.
Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I want to read together verses 3 through 8 because that seems to be a whole section together, although we'll only be focusing on the gift of prophecy tonight. So the title for our study this evening is The Proper Use of Prophecy. Say that three times and you'll be speaking in tongues. Let's start there at verse 3. It says, For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with all liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so as we looked at last week, the different functions of the body were different parts. No one has the same part, but we're individually members of one another, and we so need each other if we're going to come into that perfect will of God. As we come to verse 6, verse 6 begins to stress that it's by the grace of God that you're able to function in the body of Christ. It's not your natural abilities, but what has God worked in you? That's where he wants you to function in the body. And we need to understand what our giftings are so that we can take our rightful place and fulfill the role that God's given us in the local church. And as we do that, the body of Christ will come together and will form and be strengthened, as well as being able to do the will of God. That's the mindset that Paul's trying to drive home here. And then he lists the different gifts. Not an exhaustive list, but some of the gifts that are available that God distributes into the body. And tonight we'll be focusing just on prophecy, because I think that one is often misunderstood or often overlooked, unfortunately. So I'm going to give you a short outline from verse 6. I want to first look at the privilege in looking at the gifts in general. Then second of all, I want to look at our responsibility or our duty. And then third, look at the particular gift of prophecy. So there, go back to verse 6. It says, Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And so here he speaks of the grace of God as a privilege. It's something that is given to you, the grace of God in general, but then specifically that grace is manifested in your life with a particular gift that God gives. And as soon as you're a Christian, or thereafter, maybe in association with the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the filling with the Spirit, the empowering of the Spirit, these gifts are distributed into your life. And I don't know if that would take place at salvation or when you're filled with the Spirit, but either way, at some point, God distributes this gift into your life. And it's by His grace and His mercy, and He knows what He has for you to do in the local assembly. And based on that, those are the gifts that He gives to you. So each person has the wonderful privilege of receiving at least one gift, probably several, and then placed in the body of Christ. And that is by the grace of God. It's not something that you necessarily choose or earn or even work for or prepare yourself for. It's something that God distributes into your life. And it's a manifestation of His grace. Now, when you look at these lists that are placed here in the here in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 4, it's not like a shopping list where you say, I'll take a little prophecy, a little miracles, a little faith there. Because oftentimes, the things that we choose for ourselves is not the way that God wants to use us. And also, in that one gift, the gift of tongues, there's many that are afraid or confused about tongues. They'll say, God, give me any gift but the gift of tongues. And that is so unfortunate. It's definitely anti-biblical. And it's not the approach that the Lord would have us to take. We are to pursue after the gifts, as the Bible says, but then we say, Lord, however you want to use me in the body of Christ, that's by your grace. It's not something I'm naturally able to do, so work that in me. Show me what that is. And that's the privilege that you have. Think about it. The God of the universe, the eternal God, took you, saved you, and part of the grace and salvation, he implanted something in you called a gift. And it's by his grace, and it's his supernatural ability to do something. That's how blessed we are. And I think that's the mentality that we need to start with, that the gifts aren't something to be afraid of or something casual to, but just as being overwhelmed with the goodness of God. And that should inspire our hearts to say, Lord, you've been so gracious and good to me that I, out of love and response to your mercy to me, I want to bless others, because I know that blesses your heart. And that's why God works his grace into us, so that we could be a blessing to others. But again, I do think it starts with just having a sense of a being privileged that God would give us a supernatural ability. I mean, he gives us salvation, brings forgiveness, gives us eternal life, blesses our life, and then he distributes supernatural abilities into our life. And this word gift is the word charisma. Charis is the word that's in the New Testament translated grace. And the two letters at the end, ma, just means thing. So it's a grace thing. So even in itself, it all stems in the grace of God. So it's not because you're deserving of that. So God says, I want to be even more gracious to you. I want to add grace to the grace I've already given to you and give this gift to you. And then as we begin to understand that, how awesome God is, we need to realize that we need to have everything that God gives to us so we can function as a church properly. And that's why it's so unfortunate that there are bodies of Christ that love the Lord, but I believe they're misguided and they don't believe that the gifts are for today, or some of them aren't for today. So God has this grace that he wants to work through the body, but they're quenching off or closing off to that work of grace that God wants to bring about. And they're still able to be used in the kingdom, but I don't think to the full potential that God has. I think a simple example would be, let's say if someone asked you to break up a huge piece of concrete, and you went and you grabbed the tool and you grabbed the pick and you started slamming away at it. You know, eventually you're going to be able to break that up. But what if in that same garage where that pick was laying right next to it was one of those jackhammers that would break it up a lot quicker? What should you use? Well, if you have to think about it, it's too hot in here and your brain is melting. But to me, that's the difference. When we close off to the supernatural power of God, we may get the job done and we'll work out a little bit harder, but it's not going to get it done with the power of God and to the full extent that God is able to do as he works through us. So there's no room for quenching out or resisting anything that God would want to work in us. Is God going to give you something that's not good for you? Is God going to give you something that's not healthy for the body of Christ? So we could confidently say, Lord, here's my life, pour into it whatever you want to do. And not close ourselves off to the supernatural power that God has for us. Let me ask you a question. I do want you to answer this somewhat. Have you been blessed with the worship as of late? When you worship, is something happening spiritually in your heart that maybe wasn't happening before to the same degree? Not that we weren't worshiping before, but yet something's happening spiritually in our worship. And something's happening in you and in me as we worship that way with a freer, more openness to the Spirit of God, helping us to worship the Lord. There's an energy, there's a power of the Spirit that works in us in a greater way. Can you agree to that? Okay. Now I want you to trust me. Because some of you didn't trust me in the area of worship. You're like, well, I don't know. Should we raise our hand? Should we lift our voice? Should we do that? But then once you entered in, it's like, oh, okay. We're safe here, and this is a good thing. Well, I believe there's three other areas that the Lord has given me that same sort of, this is what our church needs in order for us to bring in even more of the supernatural work of the Spirit. One is prayer. Second one is fellowship, an intimate fellowship, a real depending upon one another. And you've been hearing these themes in my voice. But this third area is also the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to tap into the gifts that God has in the body of Christ for us to come into the fullness of the power of God that he asked for so we could do his perfect will. I don't know about you, but I don't want, whether Sunday or Wednesday, whenever we gather, to be a waste of time. I want God to meet us. And he wants to move. And there are people coming in hurting and need strengthened and need build up. And we need God's power to work through us to touch lives as we gather here. That's what I'm after. And the Lord says, here I have these supernatural abilities I want to distribute through your life and into the body, and let those minister to one another and build each other up. That's what we need to pursue after. Just like we've been pursuing after worship. It didn't just happen. Something happened in our hearts where we turned to the Lord a little bit stronger and said, Lord, we want to worship you. The same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. You have to pursue after it or it's not going to take place. And if we're waiting for this lightning bolt to zap the church and zzz, now we're all powerful, it's just not going to happen. You pursue after God. You draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. But if you're like, well, I don't know about these gift things, Lord, you know, well, you probably are not going to experience the power of God working that way. I think a lot is our response to the Word. The Word is clear. These things are available to us. And again, it's the grace of God. Don't you want all the grace of God working in your life? I know I need it. And I know I want to, and I desire it because I want the grace of God upon my ministry as I teach. I want God's grace to flow through and speak to people's hearts and build them up and strengthen them. And I know that my words can't accomplish that. I need the power.